the power of the potter. Now, like a giant potter, God took clay and formed man, the physical part of man. We're told over in Genesis 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God was the potter. Now, there's something quite interesting about this potter. No one can stop this potter. No one can question his right. No one can resist his will. No one can say him nay. No one can alter his plan. No one can speak back to him like the little gingerbread boy did. The story is told about the little boy playing down at the creek, and he took mud and he was making a mud man. And he got it all made except one arm, and he didn't put that on because his father called him to go with him into town. And so when he was in town, the little boy walking around, he saw a man with one arm, and he kept looking at that man, and finally the little fella walked up to him and said to him, says, why did you run off before I finished you? May I say that God finishes all of us? Nowhere will you find such a graphic picture of the sovereignty of God. We hear today a great deal about the rights of man, but they've forgotten all about the rights of God. And why, the worst racketeering gangster can claim the Fifth Amendment, and you just can't make him answer questions. Why? Because you got freedom. You have freedom, and the Puritans taught that too, that we're to have freedom. But may I say that they also taught that God was sovereign, and God has certain rights also, and God has incontestable authority. He has irresistible ability. He has an inexorable and inflexible will to form and to fashion individuals and nations and a world and the universe. God has power to carry through his will today. He's answerable to no one. God's not working for a boss. He doesn't watch the clock. He's not responsible to a board of deacons. He does not have to answer to a board of directors. He's sovereign. He's an absolute dictator and a sovereign. And you and I live in a universe which is running to please him. Maybe you don't like it. A man said to me, and he was a neighbor of mine, we live here at the foothills of the Sierra Madre Mountains. He said, you know that these mountains to me sometimes are a little depressive. They give me a phobia that I'm being shut in and closed in. He says, you know, I would just like to move them back a little. And I said to him, why don't you do it? And he looked at me in amazement. Well, he says, I can't do it. And I said, do you know why they are where they are? Well, he says, I guess it was because of some great convulsion in nature that took place in the past. I said, yes, I think that's the way it happened. But you know why they're right where they are? No, he says, I really don't. Well, I said, I can tell you. They are there because that's where God wants them to be. May I say to you, today you and I are living in a universe that is running for him. It's for his glory. And the rebellion of man today is like a tempest in a teapot. You can't surprise him. You can't deceive him. You can't disturb him. God rides triumphantly today in his own chariot. And who's going to say him nay? Who's going to tell him whether he's wrong or not? May I say to you, God is sovereign, the power of the potter.